Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. This is Faraz Siddiqui. I'm here with Zach Rizzuto. We're here. This is probably the most fun part of fantasy football when it comes to in-season stuff, and that's trades. Right? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. A few guys that we're looking to buy, a few guys we're looking to sell, and we are headed straight into week five. I see the comment section's already going crazy with a bunch of potential trades that they're trying to make, and we'll get to a bunch of questions in the chat, in the live chat here as we go on. But Zach, how's it going, man? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. It's interesting. You know, I actually had a little bit of trouble coming up with buys and sells because, you know, kind of what we expected happened for the most part. I mean, you know, besides Geno Smith popping off, but I'm not really worrying about trading for him or away just yet. That's just an example, but interesting week heading into this week. Should be a good one.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. So we had some buys, some sells to talk about, and we'll get to some stuff in the chat, like we said. But there hasn't been a whole lot of news outside of Jonathan Taylor. We're still not sure if he's going to end up playing on Thursday night. If he does, he's going to be in my lineup. I'm rolling him out there. If he doesn't, you know, just have another option ready just in case Jonathan Taylor does not go. If I had to guess, I'm going to guess that he doesn't play just so that he's right for the week, for the following week. But like if he does play, you know, I have him in your lineup. Naheem Hines, I think, would get a bump here. I don't think I would really reach down and play Philip Lindsay because, you know, Frank Reich did say that Philip Lindsay would be the guy who would get some carries, you know, behind Naheem Hines. And I just don't think I would reach down and play Philip Lindsay unless you're in like a 14 team league and you like really need a running back badly and he's all that's available on waivers. So like Naheem Hines, I think, would be like a, you know, low end RB2 this week with upside, specifically in PPR leagues. Okay. And I think that's really it. You know, there's a few guys who are going to appear on the injury report today. Today is Wednesday. I wouldn't worry too much about it. I would kind of like, you know, antennas up a little bit if somebody's not practicing, but don't worry about it. Just kind of make sure that going into Thursday, you monitor the practice reports. That's really when you want to start paying attention. Let's get into it, man. Let's get into some buys and sells. And, you know, one of the first guys that I had here might be surprising to a lot of people who listen to the podcast, and that's Gabe Davis.
Yeah, and that one I was surprised.
Yeah, and honestly, the reason why I'm okay like buying Gabe Davis right now is because he's just really affordable, right? And you're not going to get a return on his ADP. I don't think it's going to happen, you know, because he was being drafted, you know, fourth, fifth round pretty early. Especially best ball, but even in season-long drafts, you know, we've seen him go that early. Now, you know, granted, you know, he didn't do anything this year so far, right? Like that first week, you know, he had a big, you know, a decent game, but he's never had a decent target share that we can point to so far this year.
Right.
Now, we could point to his injury as a potential, you know, as potentially why he hasn't been able to perform, but he's running a route on every single one of Josh Allen's dropbacks. So he's not extremely, you know, not healthy, right? He can at least run a route. I mean, if he was banged up, you would think that they would at least run somebody out there. But, you know, looking at their depth chart, are they really going to rotate in Jake Kumerow, who was also banged up? Are they really going to rotate these other guys for Gabe Davis? I don't think so. So at this point, he is their full-time starter opposite Steph Diggs. He's going to have his big games. Right. And the fact that, you know, he didn't get it done over the first 4 weeks of the season, that means those games are going to be coming at some point. Right. He's going to have those blow up games. And, you know, I know that, you know, we don't want to live with the games that he's had over the past couple weeks, you know, because, you know, straight up, like it just kills your lineup. Right. When he's in there, he doesn't do anything. He hasn't earned the target share. And I don't think he's going to end up being a high target share earner. he just might not be that guy. However, this is a great offense, and he's going to have that blow-up game at some point because he's playing with Josh Allen. High-octane passing volume offense. And we know he's somewhat talented, right? Last year, when he was on the field, he was getting his targets, right?
Yeah.
You know, we just didn't have a huge sample size of that. But going forward, I think as of this moment, he's so affordable that if I'm looking for some upside and I need a wide receiver, I think that a lot of people are done with Gabe Davis at this point.
Yeah, and you could probably get him really cheap. You know, we're experiencing an extended lull. You know, this is kind of what we expected. We knew there would be weeks where he really didn't perform. We knew he was going to be hit or miss, boom, bust, that type of receiver. But we've had 3 weeks in a row now. I mean, granted, the one was with injury. He hasn't produced for you, even if whether he's on the field or not. And you talk about maybe it's his injury. I don't think it's his injury because I don't see why they'd have him on running a route for 100% of snaps if he was injured. If he's being hampered by some type of injury, why would they keep him on there and potential to aggravate it? Even when they're not throwing in the ball, you know, he's running the routes. It's not, I don't think, an injury. I think it's just him suffering from what you kind of pinpointed at the beginning of the season and over the offseason, that his target share is not 100% there. And if you don't hit on those targets, which we know his targets tend to be deep passes and, you know, all those flashy plays, he hasn't had those yet. So we're seeing limited production from him and panicking, which makes sense. You know, we knew that this was coming. Like we said, the target share wasn't there, and we're feeling the effects of that right now. He's definitely going to have his games, but where you might have been a little bit more confident in his volume at the beginning of the season, we don't have that confidence anymore. We now see him truly as a home run, hit or miss, where I was thinking maybe before, you know, he might have earned himself some more targets in the offense after that performance in the AFC. Was it the championship or the divisional round? It was the divisional round. I thought maybe he would have earned some more targets. That clearly isn't the case. And whether that's his fault or not, that's up for debate. Isaiah McKenzie did come in. He's been showing up. He is a little banged up now, so we'll see how things go there. But it's been disappointing to start with Gabe Davis, but I think better days are definitely ahead. And if you could buy him low, I mean, you can't get much lower than where he's at right now.
Yeah, it's true, man. But yeah, so I think at this point, he's so cheap that you just see what you can get him for, right? You might be able to, you got some guys in your bench that, you know, you could maybe throw in your lineup, the guys who've been producing, you know, you might want to just throw an offer at Gabe Davis if you need somebody who can spike your starting lineup, right? Because at the end of the day, you're looking for guys who can win you weeks. And Gabe Davis is one of those guys, just that how often is he going to end up doing it, right?
Yeah.
That's the only question at this point. But after one quarter of the season underway, I think it's worth buying him just because of his price right now. Let's hit one of these questions in the chat before we get to the next one. Brian's asking, are we selling Najee in Dynasty? I personally would not sell Najee in Dynasty right now. I think he's just in a pretty shitty situation. You know, from the foot injury that he's had to the offense not being too great right now, to him not being a efficient back right now. And then you have Jaylen Warren, you know, taking some snaps away too. You know, so like this is a period for me where I'm holding Najee in Dynasty. You know, am I buying him? You know, I was never a huge Najee guy. Like, he was never an efficient back. Even in college, he wasn't too efficient. Coming in his first league in the NFL, first year in the NFL, he wasn't too efficient. He just got a ton of volume. But he is one of those guys who's proven that he can handle volume, you know, and I think that will continue. I think you might have a couple more years of Najee Harris being that bell cow type of back in him. It's just that, you know, right now there's so much negativity surrounding him that no, I would not sell him in Dynasty. Just hold him for now. This offense could potentially get better, you know, with Kenny Pickett, you know, under center, and even next year, you know, him having a full offseason and, you know, still having the weapons, right? We'll see what's up with Deontay Johnson, but, you know, he got that contract. He should be there. You know, you got George Pickens going into his second year. Who knows where Claypool's going to be at, but, you know, he has the weapons. This is going to be, you know, an improved offense most likely. Hopefully they shore up that offensive line a little bit. Right now, not a good time to sell Najee.
Personally. Yeah, you look at the Steelers offense. You know, it's not a very good offense right now, but it definitely has the potential to be. I think they're suffering from a lot of turnover at the quarterback position since Big Ben left, and that's to be expected. Najee's just, like you said, in a bad situation. It's a bad offense right now, but on paper, I think they're very good. I mean, if Kenny Pickett can be a quality starter for them, you know, they have Chase Claypool, they have Deontay Johnson, they have George Pickens, they have Pat Freiermuth. Like, there's no reason this offense can't be good. So to overreact and say maybe sell Najee and Dynasty, I think after four games, it's a little bit of an overreaction.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, let's move on to the next buy that we have. I'm still buying Juju, man. You know, we talked about this yesterday. On Monday after you know, we watched him on Sunday night. You know, he just had his third 20% plus target game from Patrick Mahomes, and he still hasn't scored a touchdown, right? And all of Kansas City's touchdowns are not going to go to Clyde Edwards-Helaire all season long, you know, with the amount of touches that he's getting. So this is going to be a big game coming for Juju. You know, it's going to happen at some point. There's a blow-up game going to come, you know. So, you know, and he even got a little bit of air yards too. So, yes, his depth of target, you know, isn't as high as these other wide receivers in the league, but he's gonna get peppered. And it's still clear that he's Patrick Mahomes' number one wide receiver. You know, once he gets into more competitive games, Juju's gonna have some better games here, right? And last week he didn't have to do much, right? Like, they didn't have to throw the ball that much. And they could go safe because, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Isaiah Pacheco, they were able to rack up a ton of carries in that game because they just went up from the get. So, you know, moving forward, if you're looking for somebody who's cheap, because Juju's cheap right now, like, no one is viewing him as this high-end guy at all. If you're looking for, like, a wide receiver three who could turn into a wide receiver two, I think he would be your guy to target right now.
I think that's a good call. And it's weird because, you know, we're talking about Juju – and he hasn't performed, you know, but he's gotten the targets. I think the Chiefs have been weirdly reliant on running backs. You know, we looked at this running back room that they had going into the season at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco. We saw there might be a little value there, a little opportunity there for somebody to step up, but, like, all of the running backs are stepping up right now, which is not what I expected at all, and that might be causing Juju Smith-Schuster to suffer a little bit. And maybe it's the running backs, like you said, they've been in positive game script pretty much the whole season. And that might cause the running backs to get more work. You know, they don't have to be throwing it downfield all the time. Juju's just a guy out there right now. But yeah, I think you're right. They get in more competitive games. They have a game against Las Vegas, which is a good matchup for them on paper, but it could end up being close because we know it's a divisional game. And then they follow that with Buffalo and San Francisco. This next 3-week stretch before the bye, you know, we could see Juju take off a little bit and, you know, he could provide the value that we were looking for when we drafted in the season. His value is low right now, definitely. So you could take advantage of that. We've been talking about Juju, you know, for the past few weeks like this because the volume has been there and there's nothing's changed. It's the same situation. Until he has that big game, just keep buying.
I'm with you, man. We got another question here from Henry Hughes. It's a great name, by the way. What is Godwin's value right now? Godwin's value right now is lower than it should be. And, you know, he's another guy that I'll be looking to acquire based on how he looked last week. You know, he got a little shaken up, but he came right back into the game. Looks like his hamstring injury is over at this point, and he should be good to go. So if you're looking at what he did last week, I'm pretty sure he had like a near full wrap participation, if I'm not mistaken. I'm looking at my spreadsheet right here. Let's see. Godwin. Yeah. He ran almost as many routes as – he only ran four less routes than Mike Evans, 85% route participation. And I think he missed one or two of those passing down snaps. So, you know, because he got a little nicked up. But he should be, you know, somebody that would be ranked as a wide receiver two every single week. You know, and he could be as high as a high-end wide receiver two. This Bucs offense has not shined yet. And, you know, he's at a, you know, this offense entirely can be bought low on. If Mike Evans was able to do his thing, Chris Godwin still got his targets. If I'm not mistaken, he had a pretty high, you know, 18% target share, 9 targets. That's pretty solid for his first game back. So I would expect him to do some things. He looks good. You know, I wasn't overly into Chris Godwin this year because of him coming back from the ACL injury and because, you know, and you know, that hamstring injury could have been related to that because it did seem like they were kind of rushing him back a little bit. But it seems like they gave him enough time at this point going into week 5. I think he's somebody that if you're looking for some receiver help, I think he is good. Someone that I'll be looking to acquire if I need some, you know, high-end wide receiver to help.
I think that's a really good spot, a really good target. You know, Godwin, we talk about his value right now, you know, he's asking what's Godwin's value right now. It's very low. And like you said, you know, that's a buy low territory. We know what Godwin can be. We know he has a tendency to, you know, be nicked up, be a little bit injury prone. But when he's on the field, you know, he's getting it done. I mean, obviously against Dallas in the opener, we did kind of feel like they rushed him back. And we saw that happen. He left pretty early. He only got 3 targets. But he comes back and plays almost pretty much the full game against Kansas City. And he gets his 10 targets. That looked Chris Godwin-esque, at least from what we've seen. So I like Chris Godwin as a buy low, definitely. There's no reason that you should have to pay very much for him at all. You know, he did have a decent week this week, but, you know, you look at him on paper, it's nothing that's going to be way out there that you're not going to be able to afford. He's affordable. He might be just a little bit more pricey than maybe a Gabe Davis, but he's still very much in the realm of possibility to acquire. You don't have to spend any of your quality players for him.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. And even if you do have to spend, you know, a quality player here and there, like, it's not bad because I think he'll come through. As long as he doesn't get hurt, he's going to be Tom Brady's, you know, slot receiver. And, you know, he's going to continue to do his thing. And we saw that, you know, that's who he's going to favor right now. And, you know, Cameron Brate, you know, was being targeted at a high rate from Tom Brady before he went out with the concussion. And it seems like NFL botched that one too.
Yeah.
I digress. But, you know, this week it looks like Chris Godwin could have a potential blow-up game because a lot of those targets that were going Cameron Brate's way, he might not play this week, right? And, you know, we might see a very, extremely tight target distribution between Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And then after this game, if he blows up, you're not going to be able to acquire Chris Godwin, you know, at the same price. Okay, right. Like we say, like the great, you know, Fat Joe has said, today's price is not yesterday's price.
Yeah.
Okay. And that might not be the case for Chris Godwin moving forward.
It's a lot to do with timing with fantasy football trades. You have to buy, obviously, you know, just like in the stock market, buy low, sell high. But yeah, 100%. Timing is everything.
For sure. Another guy I want to buy right now is Darren Waller. If you're in tight end purgatory, Waller should be your target if you want one of those top 5 tight ends, right? He had 2 down weeks. And you might be able to take advantage before, you know, a good matchup, right? And a shootout against Kansas City, right? And this is one of those situations where, you know, Darren Waller, he had a couple tough matchups for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, his target share, you know, wasn't too high. His target share, you know, looking at 17% last week. So still solid, actually. So week 4, 17% target share. Still pretty solid. Devonta Adams ended up with a 43% target share, but pretty good. 16% target share in week 3, not so great. But in week 2, 23% target share, and that was with all their guys healthy, and then 18% target share in week 1. So I think, you know, Darren Waller, you know, we know what his talent is like. He just got that deal. I think more targets will start moving towards Devonta Adams and Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro and not Matt Collins. I think, you know, Matt Collins, he's got some targets, but I do think that the targets are going to start, you know, kind of evenly distributing, or at least I think the targets are going to be tightly distributed between Adams and Waller first, then Hunter Renfro, then Matt Collins. I think that's going to correct itself. So if you're looking for a high-end tight end and you're in a situation where you don't know what tight end to start, I would start to try to put deals together for Darren.
Yeah, I think that's 100% fair. You look at his production, you know, it hasn't been awesome, but even when his production hasn't been awesome, he's been a serviceable tight end for you. Unlike other tight ends that we've seen, you know,
they're on or they're
yeah, but you know, they're either on or off. Darren Waller, even though he's not necessarily, he doesn't have the upside that he had maybe like 2 years ago when he had that breakout game, especially with Devonta Adams in the offense, he still has upside for you and a solid floor relatively because of the targets that he's getting and the talent that he has. You can't really go wrong. He has 5 points in back-to-back weeks, which is kind of an outlier, I think. You look at the way they've been using Mac Hollins, just because Mac Hollins has been, you know, putting an eyeglass on Devonta Adams' usage and maybe the lack of usage for Devonta Adams, it doesn't mean it doesn't affect Darren Waller too. They run them in very similar ways on offense. Darren Waller should be in line for more volume, or if at the very least, if not more volume, higher quality volume against Kansas City. It'll probably be a shootout. And you don't want to base it all in 1 week, but Darren Waller's been underproducing for what we expected for him so far this season, and you could buy him low now. He's regardless, even if you don't buy, if you have him, I wouldn't be looking to like sell him or anything. you know, he's a solid player that'll get it done for you at the tight end position, because as we know, outside of the top five or six, there's not much there.
Exactly. So if I were you, if I'm looking for a tight end, he would be my main target right now, because I think he could be somewhat affordable. If you have a tight end who's been overproducing over the past couple of weeks, you might want to take a look at Darren Waller, you know. Now, if you have Gerald Everett, would you be trading Gerald Everett plus something for Darren Waller? Of course.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like you have to. Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a pretty good combination. Like, if I had Gerald Everett right now, you know, he's somebody I'm actually looking to sell, by the way. You know, he's actually on my – was he on my sell list? I have no idea.
Yeah, he was on my sell list.
Okay, there you go. So, you know, Keenan Allen, he's coming back soon. There might be less targets to go around for Everett, right, whose route participation, by the way, is not eclipsing 70%. It's been 70% or lower every single week. He kind of wanted to be around 80, 85% at least for a tight end. And Donald Parham, he's going to be coming back soon, potentially this week. You never know. Maybe he starts getting involved. And we saw what they did last year with that tight end position where, you know, you never know who was going to run more routes than who. I would assume that it's going to continue to be Everett running the most routes among that, you know, within that tight end room. But you never know. That route participation could go down. He just had the touchdown. He just had the big game. So I might go ahead and try to package him up a little bit, add a little bit something to it, and then try to get Darren Waller.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it. This is the way I see it. You know, Gerald Everett has been producing despite maybe not having the target share or route participation that we like. And Darren Waller's been underproducing despite seeing the target share and route participation that we like. So something's got to give. One's going to regress to the mean. The other might get back to where they should be based on the usage. And that's kind of been our argument with a lot of players recently. It's, you know, the usage is what matters, especially if they're underperforming. I see Darren Waller as that type of player. If you can move Gerald Everett for Darren Waller, it's going to benefit you in the long term. Even though Gerald Everett, you know, he's not a bad play. It's not like he's a bad player. He's still going to have his weeks. But Darren Waller is a much better overall player than Gerald Everett. Like we said, the Chargers are missing a few guys yet, and that might be contributing a bit to his success, Gerald Everett's, in the offense right now.
Now, you had a buy.
Yes.
For us. I want to hear it.
Yeah. So my guy that I'm buying, you know, even though it might not be a buy low, it's Jaylen Waddle. Like I said, you're not going to be buying low. I think he's worth consideration as someone to target, though, because of his recent production. And Teddy Bridgewater, you know, kind of targeted him at a similar rate to Tua, even when he came back in relief of him last week. Outside of his monster performance against the Ravens, where he garnered 19 targets, remember 11 catches, it was like 180 some yards, two touchdowns. His volume has been decent at best. It's been like 5 targets week 1, 6 in week 3, and then 5 again last week with Teddy Bridgewater coming in. Looking ahead, he has 3 really strong matchups out of 4, including one with Pittsburgh, but he's playing against the Jets, who had that shootout with the Browns, the Vikings, who are they're pretty good, but they're not that good. And then the Lions, which is just going to be probably lighting it up on offense. The Lions, like we said, highest scoring offense, worst scoring defense. It's a really fantasy conducive schedule. Even though Teddy Bridgewater is our quarterback, there's a chance that his value could skyrocket over the second quarter of the season. And this is probably the lowest that you'll get him, you know, even following that 40-point performance. It's relatively low for where I think he's going to be in a few weeks.
I'm with you, man. I love that, you know, and take advantage of this bad week. Take advantage of the fact that, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be their quarterback this week, that they're going to have 2 bad weeks of Jaylen Waddle. And that might not be the case. We saw what Teddy Bridgewater did, you know, in Carolina, right? He was able to be just fine with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. So I wouldn't necessarily look at him as being a bad thing for really bad thing for Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle. So I'm with you on that one, man. Jaylen Waddle is going to be ranked again in my top 12 regardless this week, regardless of who's at quarterback. You know, Tua is going to get done, obviously, and you'd rather have him behind center, but I think Teddy B is going to be fine with that in Miami.
Yes.
I love definitely. It. I love it. I love it. All right, cool, man. Let's see. Let's see who else I had here. Oh, you know what? Before we go to the next one, let's look at some questions here.
Yeah.
Let's look at some questions. Should I trade? Zap OG is asking, should I trade AJ Dillon or Drake London? How are you feeling about this one?
Okay, so I feel like they're both in a similar situation. You know, if you can't really equate running backs to wide receivers, but they're both to points where we know they're talented, they just haven't really produced as much as they can. AJ Dillon because he's working with Aaron Jones, and Drake London because it's just a weird offense, as we've seen. Both of them are guaranteed some work. I do like Drake London more than I did before, but I think AJ Dillon has more value for you still as a running back than Drake London. I wouldn't necessarily do this straight up one for one. Chances are you have AJ Dillon in a starting spot unless you're in a smaller league. Drake London, I see him as a wide receiver 3 right now. So I would say if AJ Dillon, chances are he's your wide receiver, not wide receiver, running back 2, I would maybe keep AJ Dillon. I wouldn't do that trade.
If you need a wide receiver, I would do it. If you need a wide receiver, I think Drake London is a wide receiver 2 now. He was to be in my top 24 this week. He's just balling out. He's balling out of his mind. He is number 1 in the NFL in target share. And that's not among rookies. That's among all wide receivers. And that's right. A great feat. Now, this is a low volume passing offense. So that high target share doesn't mean as much in terms of it counting for fantasy points. However, the fact that he's able to do what he's done over the first 4 weeks of the season, he's been balling. The tape has been out of control. The dude looks really, really good. We know how good Kyle Pitts is, and he cannot earn target share right now over Drake London. And, you know, I think if you need a wide receiver, I would make this deal. I would assume, Zap, OG, that you have some running backs. And if you do, and you're not going really depleting your running back depth, or if AJ Dillon's sitting, I would make this deal if Drake London is going to slide into your starting lineup. So right. It really depends on your roster, what it looks like. But if Dillon is like, if you're going between Dillon and another running back in your starting lineup, and Dillon could potentially be on your bench this week, and Drake London was slide right to your wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 spot, I would do it. We know what AJ Dillon's upside is without Aaron Jones. We know what that looks like. We know that AJ Dillon's going to get 15 to 18 carries a lot of weeks. However, you know, he's still in the timeshare for now. He doesn't get a lot of the, you know, the touches that we're looking for, especially in the pass game. As you know, we thought that might happen after week 1, but you know, after 4 weeks, a bigger sample size, you know, Dillon's real value is going to come when Aaron Jones, if Aaron Jones is ever off the field. So yeah, I think I would do it depending on the situation. Okay, let's move on to the next buy, and you were buying Jalen Waddle high. I'm buying DK Metcalf. And, you know, part of the reason
I like that one.
Yeah. Thank you, Zach. there were two reasons why Metcalf was off my draft radar, right? And I don't have him on a lot of teams this year, admittedly. I do have him on one team because he slid. I think he slid to like the 5th round or something like that, which was insane. So I was like, I'm going to bet on the talent here. Geno Smith was one of the reasons, right? Not having Russell Wilson anymore. Number 2, that this was a slow, prehistoric, run-heavy offense, right?
Yeah.
Smith has been efficient so far this year. So that, you know, has been proved wrong already, and that can continue to be proved wrong moving forward. And number 2, you know, this is a top-heavy target distribution where Geno is only targeting DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett right now, right? Yeah. And in the red zone, and he'll go for his tight ends. But for the most part, it's those two guys. And then number 3, the pace, like we talked about over the past couple of days, has picked up significantly. And because of that, I'm buying high. I don't think the Seahawks offense is at a point where they're going to regress. You know, obviously we saw this crazy ass game between the Lions and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who have these two guys might simply think that, you know, it's not going to continue, right? Or DK Metcalf had just had a couple big games like he's had in the past, and then they don't want to buy him anymore, right? So I think advantage of that sentiment and what we're used to with DK Metcalf kind of going being up and down. Even last year with Russell Wilson, there were a lot of games where we couldn't count on DK Metcalf. But seems like Pete Carroll is trusting Geno to keep the offense extremely fast paced. And if that continues, you know, in terms of, and when I say fast paced, what I mean is that they're not waiting until, you know, the play clock hits 3 or 2 before they snap the ball. They're hitting that at like 10 to 15 seconds, which is a significant increase in plays per game. And that's just going to increase the value of every single Seahawk. Rashad Penny, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Geno Smith, all these guys their values have increased at this point. So DK Metcalf is the best playmaker on that team. He's got it done over the past 2 weeks, like correlated with the increased pace. And I'm buying high right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Like I said, I agree with that one. I actually really like that one. And I know that you said your objections to DK Metcalf having the season were Geno Smith and the pace of play, which that was everyone's problem. You know, I think with DK Metcalf, that's probably why you were able to get him in the fifth round of that one draft. But Geno Smith, you know, I'm kind of entering the territory where I'm thinking, okay, is this really like a fluke? Is Geno Smith just like, is this going to stop? I don't know if it's going to. Geno Smith seems like he's a decent quarterback, a good quarterback, one that's definitely capable of producing, of supporting two fantasy relevant wide receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. A lot of DK Metcalf being a buy high right now is because of Geno Smith. As long as Geno Smith is playing, it's really good. Dare I say that I'm more confident with DK Metcalf in my lineup this season with Geno Smith at quarterback than I was last season with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Because,
oh my God,
Russell Wilson, you know, he would be on and off of DK Metcalf, but Geno Smith has been looking DK Metcalf's way over and over and over to open the season. And he gets a good matchup against Detroit, and DK Metcalf produces, Tyler Lockett produces. It's looking very good for DK Metcalf as long as his offense can continue to be what it's been through these first 4 weeks. And I don't see that stopping. So I really do like DK Metcalf. I actually got a piece of him in a couple of my leagues because he dropped so far. And when you watch DK Metcalf on the field, it is just, you're reminded why, you know, he was just such a star coming into the league, and he's showing it now. You know, things look bleak. He got the extension. He's in Seattle. So he's invested there. I think there shouldn't be any worries about DK Metcalf moving forward. He's a solid high, or even a high-end wide receiver two for me right now.
I can see that, man. And don't be surprised if he's wide receiver one at some point in the next couple of weeks. He's in my top 12 if they continue this. For week one, 26% target share. Week two, 20% target share. Week three, 28% target share. Week four, 36% target share. So it's legit, and it's going up.
Yeah,
on a Wednesday. All right, let's move on to the next. Well, actually, you know what? Let's answer a question. I keep forgetting about these people who are here with us. I keep forgetting this is live. Robert Alcala is asking, would you trade Christian McCaffrey for DeAndre Hopkins and J.K. Dobbins?
So assuming I have Christian McCaffrey.
I would assume that we have Christian McCaffrey and we are trading away Christian McCaffrey for DeAndre Hopkins and J.K. Dobbins. Should we do it? And I'm assuming that's what you mean, Robert. And if it's not, put it in the comments. But I would assume when you say four, I'm assuming you have CMC and you're going to trade him for D-Hop and Dobbins. Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
No. Not
that. Yeah, so before you explain, my answer is also no. But go ahead. Get into it.
I wouldn't do it, man. Listen, CMC is a high-end RB1. There's not too many of those right now. DeAndre Hopkins is not an elite wide receiver. You know, even last year, he only was sitting around 20% share, right? And when we're talking elite wide receiver target share, it's around 30%, 28%, 27%. But 20% target share is not going to get it done for you. You know, we definitely depended on those touchdowns from D-Hop last year when he did get it done. There's no creativity on this offense. Marquise Brown is there. So, you know, targets are going to be distributed between DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, Rondell Moore, Zach Ertz. So I would expect the target share to be at 20%. You know, and usually the big dogs eat first. But if that was the case, he would have ate last year, right?
Yeah.
With AJ Green and Christian Kirk there, right? So Hollywood's upgrade over Kirk. Zach Ertz is there all year. He's there all year long. I wouldn't make this deal. Also, J.K. Dobbins, you know, somebody I'm looking to potentially sell. You know, you know, we weren't going to get into him on this episode, but J.K. Dobbins, like, you know, he scored the two touchdowns, right? Not only that, you know, but there is a feeling that J.K. Dobbins is just good work from here. I don't know that he does. This could potentially be a split backfield in the entire time for the rest of the year, him coming off the ACL, judging by how they used him during his rookie year. They never gave him the reins to the backfield. Gus Edwards is going to be back at some point. If I'm not mistaken, John Harbaugh said that, you know, Gus Edwards is going to start practicing this week. So because of that, you know, he might be back at some point over the next couple of weeks. And Gus Edwards is an upgrade, you know, over the guy that he's splitting with right now. So I don't know. You know, it's like, what are you going to get in Dobbins? Low-end RB2 who is going to be touchdown dependent, a mid RB2 who's going to be touchdown dependent. He's a great talent, but he's coming off the ACL. I don't want to invest in that. And the fact that he got a receiving touchdown last week, I think that's an anomaly too.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen too often. So I would say to hold off on that, keep CMC, and maybe instead of trading your stud for two lesser options, maybe you try to do the opposite. You know, maybe trade two of your lesser guys for one stud. I think that will serve you better.
Yeah. For me, with this trade, you know, my gripe is there's situations like you talked about DeAndre Hopkins. You know, he said usually big dogs eat first, but that hasn't been the case with him in Arizona. And they're getting a lot of help at receiver coming back these next few weeks. It's going to be a really busy wide receiving core and tight ends. You know, Zach Ertz will be able to do his thing too. So DeAndre Hopkins, I don't think he's going to have the volume to really be that high-end wide receiver one that we knew when he was in Houston. But then also, you know, I look at Christian McCaffrey and his situation. It's a complete opposite. Here's an offense with the wide receivers and quarterback sputtering. You know, we need to produce, and we have Christian McCaffrey on our team. Who are they going to get the ball to the most? He just got his first true, like, strong fantasy performance of the season. His utilization came through. He got that touchdown, and he looked as close from a fantasy perspective to the Christian McCaffrey that we knew this season, as he has all season and last week. So Christian McCaffrey, he's still on the upswing, I think. You know, things are, they're figuring out how that he is the best weapon at this point with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. So Christian McCaffrey, I'd have him locked in. I don't know if I'd even think about trading him right now because Christian McCaffrey,
I wouldn't.
He's looking like that guy. And, you know, you think, oh, maybe Dobbins. They add Dobbins, DeAndre Hopkins. This is a classic case of sell high, I think. I'm not even treating Dobbins as an ad right now. It was either – it looked to me like DeAndre Hopkins for Christian McCaffrey, which is an immediate no. It didn't help that Dobbins was added on there. He had one good week. And we don't know what we're going to get from him. CMC is the sure thing. DeAndre Hopkins, Dobbins, no.
I'm with you. All right, before we move on, I want to talk about Underdog Fantasy and their pickems. We've been on a roll. We got 7 out of 8 right on Monday Night Football. Hope you guys played some of those. We saw a bunch of winning entries from the community. So I'm glad you guys are winning some money there. If you know fantasy and you play fantasy, you have a pretty solid idea of what the matchups are going to look like, how these players are going to end up doing, you know, what their opportunity looks like going into the game. So I would check out all the different pick'em options Underdog Fantasy offers, and that includes this Thursday night. You can go on Underdog Fantasy right now, download the app, go on their website, make sure to use the code UPPERHAND to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. But yeah, go take a look at their pick'ems. We had Deebo Samuel going over on receptions and receiving yards. We had Jimmy G going over on passing yards. What else did we had? We had Matthew Stafford throwing at least one interception. So when you combine all of those things into one entry, you're going to start multiplying your money pretty nicely. So, you know, if you chose all of those correctly and like you choose three of those, like let's say you chose those three in one entry, you would have 6x your money. You can have an entry with 2 pick'ems, with 3 pick'ems. You can have them all the way up to 5. And if you get all of your pick'ems in your entry correct, you can win almost 20x what you put in. So you got to check it out. You know, they even offer pick insurance where your multiplier goes down. So maybe not 20x for 5 picks, but they give you the leeway of getting one of your picks wrong. So you'll still will win money if you get one of those picks wrong. So two things sportsbooks don't let you do. One is that they don't let you get any picks in your parlays wrong, right? If you get one pick wrong, you're done. You lose no matter what. And two, they don't allow for correlation in one parlay. So, for example, I chose Deebo Samuel over receptions and on over yards. You can't do that in a parlay or even in the same game parlay on these other, you know, sports books, but you can do that on Underdog. So if you see a good matchup that you like, you can kind of hammer that in on one particular player. So go check out Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you use the code, promo code UPPERHAND, all one word, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Again, that's code UPPERHAND, all one word, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. The pick'ems are live right now for this Thursday night, so you can start putting in your entries now, and I'll have my sheet out as well on Thursday morning. Let's get into some more buys. I have one more buy that I want to talk about, and that's Devin Singletary. His usage was upgraded over the past couple weeks, upgraded to 75% and 86% snaps each of the last two games. And then he was also upgraded to 80% rep participation last week. That's more than Kyle Pitts, by the way. That's more than Gerald Everett, by the way, the guys that we've been talking about. But he's caught 13 of 16 targets over the last 2 weeks. So if you're in need of an RB2 with upside, you know, they're not using James Cook right now. They're not using the other dude, Zach Moss, at all. So if you need an RB2, I think he's somebody that you can acquire on the cheap because he didn't go crazy with the fantasy points in week four, but the usage was there.
Right. I think that's a good call. I think you could get him cheap too because the name value is not like tremendous. You know, we've seen him do this in years past, you know, where he has a week or two consecutive good weeks and people, you know, overreact to it and then they get burnt because, you know, he wasn't getting the usage that he was getting now. And this looks kind of like that situation because he opened with two duds and now he had, what was it, like 24 PPR points against Miami in week three and then a pretty good week as far as usage goes this past week. Things seem to be changing. They seem to be more confident with Devin Singletary. We talked about this, and I think it was two episodes ago. We talked about Devin Singletary maybe being earning more trust from the coaching staff. You know, we said he was pretty notoriously bad last season on yards per route run. And this season he's improved that. He looks like a different running back, and it seems like the offense is running a little bit more through him than we anticipated it. So, yeah, I think you could capitalize on that by trading for him right now.
Another guy I had as a buy is Breece Hall. You know, he continues to be a buy. You know, if you bought him last week, great. But you have another opportunity here because his blow-up game is going to come. His usage continues to rise. It got even better for the good thing is that he's continuing to be targeted. Right. From a different quarterback. So Zach Wilson coming in still was being targeted. He was being targeted by, you know, by a good margin over these other guys. So for the year, he's been targeted on 30% of his routes, you know, and a lot of us thought that, you know, Michael Carter was going to be their passing down guy. But Breece Hall had a really good pass catching profile coming into the year. His target share as a running back was up there. So, you know, it's been legit. So 19% target share from Zach Wilson. That's only behind Garrett Wilson, and it was the same target share. He had the same amount of targets as Corey Davis, or close to it at least. So Breece Hall is somebody that, you know, he has the talent profile to absolutely explode and be a potential RB1 down the stretch. So if you're 4-0, if you're 3-1 especially, I'm going to be giving up some assets to get Breece Hall right now.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call. And we've said about Breece Hall, I think we're going on 3 weeks now saying Breece Hall's a buy. I'm looking at his, you know, rushing stats right now. His volume went up big last week, compared to what he had the first 3 weeks. So you want to talk about usage? Yeah. This guy's usage is going to be legit. It's going to continue to be that way. And the thing that really stands out to me, like you said, is we switch quarterbacks and it's the exact same production, if not better usage, you know, than when Joe Flacco was in there. Cause Joe Flacco was dropping back and throwing the ball 50 times. Now they don't have to do that. Now they can rely a little bit on the run game. And we're going to see more of Breece Hall in the run game, I think, and in the pass game too. But it's going to balance out his, you know, volume a little bit more. He's not so dependent on targets anymore. We saw he got 17 carries against Pittsburgh, so it's good for him. It's only up from here. And like you said, if you're in good shape already, you know, he'd be a nice add for your team if you can get him. Even if he's going to be like a flex guy, you know, having Breece Hall, he's pretty much the RB1 there at this point over Michael Carter.
Yeah, definitely the RB1 right now, and the clear RB1 right now. I know, you know, this Jets offense is going to take it's already one of the best Jets offenses we've seen over the past couple of years. And I think it's going to get better. You know, I think Garrett Wilson coming into his own, Elijah Moore hasn't even been able to kind of do his thing this year. I think it's going to happen. You know, at some point, this Jets offense is going to be able to break through. The offensive line is decent enough to get it done as well. So Breece Hall, you know, I think there's going to be plenty of goal line opportunities for him too moving forward.
Yeah.
Let's get into a couple of questions here in the chat right here. So Jacob's asking, should I drop Garrett Wilson for Singletary? I'm very strong at wide receiver, some are weaker at running back. I would be looking to trade Garrett Wilson, man. I think you can get some value out of him. I think he's like a top, I don't know, what would you say, a top 27, 28 wide receiver for fantasy right now? Like he's really up top there.
Yeah.
Top 30. Yeah. He would get, I don't know where I got 26, 27 from. But yeah, top 30 wide receiver right now. And I would be looking to trade him. Yeah. You know, maybe what you can do is if you're looking for a bench spot And Singletary is available in your waiver wire? Like, what's going on? Like, is that what's going on? Or are you trading it? Maybe you mean you want to trade him. So, yeah. Okay, let's say this is a trade. Mm-hmm. We're talking about trades here, right? And this situation is not going to be applicable for anybody to be able to drop the guys like this and pick up guys like this. So let's assume trade. Would you trade Garrett Wilson for Singletary right now? I think I would if you really need that running back. If you're very, it seems like you literally said you're very strong at wide receiver and some are weak at running back. I think I would make this move. But just understand that Garrett Wilson has really high upside. Singletary, his role can change at any moment, right? So a little bit of a flimsy, you know, RB2 right now. However, the utilization has been strong over the past couple of weeks. Garrett Wilson, extremely strong talent profile. So he could blow up at some point this year. We saw, you know, what happened a couple of weeks ago where he was the hottest waiver wire ad for a reason. But if you need a running back, I think I would do it.
In a vacuum, I'd say no. You know, but then you say about, he says he's very strong at wide receiver, then maybe I would consider it. I'm still higher on Garrett Wilson than I am Singletary. You know, he's had a couple iffy weeks. We saw his ceiling flash. Was it week two? So I don't want to take that away from him. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's had two weeks these past 2 weeks. I'm looking for him to get back or at least closer to what we saw in week two. I think that Wilson is a better asset for me in my mind over Singletary.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Let's see. Let's see here. I have Zappo G. Oh, you know what? We already, okay, you know what, Zap? I pinned your question. We already answered one of your questions, but it's your lucky day. Okay, we won't spend too much time on it. I have Jamar. I have CeeDee. I have Mike Williams. I'm struggling at running back. Should I trade CeeDee away for a running back? The obvious trade away here is Mike Williams, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I wouldn't trade CeeDee Lamb right now. The Cowboys offense, it should be on the upswing, assuming Dak Prescott comes back relatively soon. And even with Dak Prescott out, Cooper Rush has proven that he can help CeeDee to produce, at least serviceably. I think he's been better than serviceable these past 2 weeks. But yeah, if I'm picking between those three, I would trade away Mike Williams for a running back.
CeeDee has proved over the first 4 weeks that he is a high target share earner, an elite target share earner this year.
Yeah.
He's an elite wide receiver at this point. Mike Williams is not. So I would go ahead and after that big week Mike Williams just had, sell high.
Definitely.
That's a good question. Let's see. We got another trade question here from Donnie Ramazzani. Donnie Ramazzani. What are these names are amazing, man.
Right.
I love it. How should I trade Deontay for Curtis? Hey, should I trade Deontay Johnson for Curtis Samuel? So he already has, Donnie already has Garrett Wilson. He has Brandon Ayuk and he has Dubs. Okay, here we go. Sorry, I should have read this question before I read it out loud. So he wants to trade Deontay Johnson plus one of these guys for Curtis Samuel. That's what he's trying to do. So he wants to trade Deontay plus Garrett Wilson, Deontay plus Ayuk, or Deontay plus Dubs for Curtis Samuel. And I understand wanting to do that because Deontay hasn't done his thing. I wouldn't be surprised if Deontay Johnson becomes better with Kenny Pickett. I don't think all eyes should be only on George Pickens here. I think Deontay Johnson, he's one of those guys who has proved that he's going to earn a high target share. So it's possible that Deontay Johnson over the next couple of weeks ends up being a better commodity, a better asset than Curtis Samuel. I wouldn't be surprised. However, Curtis Samuel, he's going to be fine. Dotson's hurt right now. More targets available for Curtis Samuel. I'm okay with it. If I can get rid of Deontay plus Ayuk, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
I don't think I would do Deontay plus Garrett Wilson for Curtis Samuel or Deontay plus Dubs for Curtis Samuel. Are you okay with trading one of those guys with Deontay for Curtis?
Yeah, only Ayuk at this point. Ayuk. You know, we saw Dubs. If you watched the press conference after the game against the Patriots, Aaron Rodgers said that he openly came out and said, yeah, I have a little bit of trust for Romeo Dubs. That's what we're looking for. So if Aaron Rodgers trusts him, he's going to get his target share. Dubs is looking like the steal right now that we're talking about as a Packers receiver. And Garrett Wilson, we just talked about it. You know, his ceiling is there. Definitely. He's at this point, the wide receiver one for the Jets. I mean, until Elijah Moore comes out and actually produces, you know, Garrett Wilson's that guy.
I'm looking to sell Miles Sanders right now. 27 carry game for him. I think that's an outlier. The Eagles are not going to be a run heavy team for most of the season. They were run heavy last week because of the fact that the pass game, you know, couldn't really get going in that weather that Philly had. So you know, I take advantage of this big game. Sanders just had 2 touchdowns, more than 100 yards. I would try to take advantage of this. This is not the Miles Sanders that we're used to. And we know that the Eagles like to, we know that the Eagles want to be pass heavy, as we've seen over the first 3 weeks of the season. I think that that's what they would, I think that's what they would have liked to do in this game if the weather conditions permitted it, for it to happen. Yeah. So listen, I don't want to hope that Miles Sanders continues this, right? Because whenever you do hope that Miles Sanders is going to continue good production, it doesn't really work out so well. So if you can package Miles Sanders up right now, trade him away, grab a better asset, and take advantage of that high value that he has right now.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with it. You know, you look at the volume, you say, is 27 carries an outlier for Miles Sanders by his standards that he set through his career? Yes, it is. He's had, before this game, it's now 5 games over 20 carries in his 5-year career. And each year he's had 1 game over 20 carries or 20 carries even. So don't expect this volume to stick around. He's still in the Eagles. Kenneth Gainwell is still there. Boston Scott is still there. And it's going to be a pass-first offense. You have to take into account that, you know, outside of the beginning of the game, the Eagles were in a positive game script in just like a mess of weather. You know, the remnants of Hurricane Ian. That's what they were playing. That's what they're playing in. So this isn't going to stick around, this volume. That I can say with confidence. I'm not saying that Miles Sanders isn't talented. If he got that kind of workload, you know, we see that he can produce, but he's just never going to get that because he's on the Eagles and they have other running backs. They've been pretty committed to a committee approach the whole time he's been there.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, Boston Scott wasn't in this game. So it is possible that, you know, if Boston Scott was there, the split might have been a little bit more distributed. Very possible. We don't know that for sure. But, you know, Boston Scott has been their primary short yardage back. Maybe not goal line back, but most short yardage situations, Boston Scott was actually on the field. So something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
All right. Guess who else I'm selling? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm selling Clyde Edwards-Helaire, dude. Listen, he's on pace for 21 touchdowns this year on only 229 touches. Okay. And I'm going to give you a little bit of context. Okay. Austin Eckler, he scored 20 touchdowns last year on 276 touches. And we were expecting a little bit of a regression there too, right? Mm-hmm. That was considered uber efficient. And when you talk about their talent levels, I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is anywhere close to the talent level than Austin Eckler is. Okay. So I understand, you know, that you want to keep Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he's been producing. And I also understand that people are like, hey, man, like no one's ever going to buy Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like everybody knows that he's a sell high. Like, okay, so package him up. Don't try to buy, you know, like Jonathan Taylor with Clyde Edwards-Helaire 1-for-1. Like that's not going to work. Like don't try to buy Christian McCaffrey or Joe Mixon with just Clyde Edwards-Helaire. No. Like acknowledge the fact that he's a sell high, but add to it, add a legitimate piece to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and package him up for a better player. Like Joe Mixon, on Joe Mixon, who, you know, is getting a shit ton of volume, right? Mm-hmm. Has been inefficient. That's okay, though, because the volume has been crazy. It's going to stay there, right? It's not like they're going to bring in Samaje Perine to start, you know, taking significant work away from him. So, you know, package Clyde Edwards-Helaire, put in a good wide receiver too. Like, for example, Curtis Samuel, someone is struggling at wide receiver, right? Curtis Samuel plus Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Can that give you a good running back? Probably. Yeah. Can you combine Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Drake London? Probably. Can you combine Clyde Edwards-Helaire and, I don't know, pick another Tyler Lockett? You know what I'm saying? You could do it. Like, yeah. You could get an upgrade at running back by, you know, trading off of these, you know, wide receiver two, low end wide receiver two type of guys to upgrade. Maybe not Joe Mixon, but maybe you can upgrade to a good running back. You know, I'd rather have guys like Damian Pierce. Right. I'd rather have guys like, you know, James Robinson. Like, I'd rather have those guys than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, despite the fact that he's been going crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. And, you know, we've been pounding the table on selling Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, since like week two, something like that. You know, we saw his first performance. It was like, time is so high. And then he just continued producing. This is like the ideal sell situation because we know what his MO has been heading into the season. Before the season, he wasn't viewed as like a fantasy starting running back. But now suddenly he's putting up those types of numbers. Like I said, it's the ideal sell situation because even while he's sitting on your roster, if you haven't been able to convince other people to buy him, you know, he's still putting up points for you. If you have to throw him in your lineup in a pinch, you're probably starting him after all this production. You can ride out this hot streak that he's been on. As long as the offense is clicking, he's going to produce. And we can ride that out as long as we want. So there's really no pressure for you to sell him. And every week, his value just keeps going up. You know, he's like the ideal sell piece right now.
I'm with you, man. Who else are you selling?
Okay, so one guy, he had a big game this past week, and it was a product of the game that he was in, and it's Rashad Penny. You might have a hard time letting go of him. After 150 yards and two touchdowns, he looked like he turned back the clock to last season when he was just taking defenses and tearing them up. But when you look at that production in context, it's much less appealing than it is at just a glance. You know, you look at his sleeper game logs. You have to consider the Lions were statistically the worst defense in the league. And it was just like we talked about this game just being fantasy gold. He's not going to be rushing into that each week. And definitely not next week against the Saints and other opponents beyond. I'm looking at his usage, which was relatively on par with what he had seen leading up to the game against Detroit. Across his first three games, he averaged 12 opportunities. And then he racked up just 18 opportunities in week four. He managed to double his yardage total for the season with those opportunities in one shot. And he also took two long runs in for touchdowns. So if he doesn't take, say he gets one of those runs down to the goal line, he gets tackled like short instead of a touchdown, you know, we're looking at a 6-point swing and he's looking 22 points as opposed to 28 that he got this season. He did that twice, like I said, with two long touchdowns. Seattle's offense is better, but I don't think it's enough to expect Penny's workload to continue to produce RB1 finishes like we got last week, especially like we said with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, Geno Smith throwing the ball there. It seems like they've upgraded the offense from the one that sustained Rashad Penny at the end of the season last season.
I'll say this. Like, I think over the past couple of weeks, because of the offense's pace moving, you know, getting up there, I think his value has increased. However, I see where you're going. Number one, he hasn't been the epitome of health, right? So when you buy someone like him over his career who hasn't been able to stay healthy, it's a little bit tough. Number two, there is a very talented back behind him who could potentially start to earn more carries as the season goes on. They also spent a very high, he's a very high draft capital type of player. And he's a very good running back. So I think eventually he could potentially eat into that a little bit more. So I could see that. And you want to take advantage of huge games. See what people are willing to give you, right? Always. Like, same thing with Austin Eckler last week. I'm not necessarily looking to, like, sell him, but I want to see what I can get for him. And, you know, you never know what you can get. If people are desperate for running backs after losing Javonte Williams, after losing Cordarrelle Patterson this past week, see what happens, you know? So that's what I would do. I would see what's out there, put him on the trade block, see what kind of offers you get. But I personally necessarily be, you know, scared of his future production. I think as long as he can stay healthy, he can give you solid RB2 weeks with upside.
Yeah, no, I think that's true what you're saying. But we saw, you know, the first glimpse of Rashad Penny from last season, this season, this last week. And that's what people might have been holding on to with Rashad Penny, you know, waiting to see that kind of game again. And he just had it. So, you know, interest could be at an all-time high right now.
I hear that. Like, Sean in the comments, he's asking Penny or Zeke. I would much rather have Penny. What about you?
Mm-hmm. You know, and as the resident Cowboys fan, me saying that Zeke, you know, should not be rostered over Penny, be started over Penny. Penny is the guy. You know, Zeke has had his ceiling is pretty much gone at this point.
Yeah, no, 100%. I appreciate that, Sean. Thanks for the question. And I think that's going to do it for this episode. You know, one of our other sells that we had was Gerald Everett, but we kind of talked about him already. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll be back tomorrow with our quarterback rankings and our running back rankings to get you started, as far as setting your lineups going into week five. I can't even talk right now. It's already been an hour. I'm so done at this point. Now, tomorrow we're gonna have that episode at 9 a.m. So just to kind of remind everyone what the schedule is, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we're going live at noon, just like we did today, Eastern time. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're going live at 9 a.m. Eastern time on YouTube. And then it'll be out on the podcast about an hour or less after the podcast has been recorded. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you can rate and review the podcast, that would mean the world to us. That would help us a ton. And if you can subscribe to the podcast as well, that would be even better. If you can subscribe to the podcast, that would mean the world to us. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.